About 6 weeks ago, I was in a business meeting with Pastor Glenn. And yes, in case you've ever wondered, he really does do those business coaching consulting meetings he talks about in worship. I was there that day with my partner Corey and our team, and we've benefited from Glenn's wisdom and perspective for years. And as our business meeting wrapped up, it transitioned to church business. And I asked Glenn, you know, how are things going? This was right at the exciting time when Pastor Mark was coming in. And Glenn said, it's awesome, but there's a lot to do. And I said, well, I'm sure there is. Just please let me know if there's anything I can do to help. And he said, all right, you're on. And I said, well, you know, beyond that, if there's a way that it's a fit that I can share a message, I'd love to do that. And he said, yeah, you're on. And I said, cool, just, you know, let me know. We'll plan it out. And he said, no, I mean, you're on. You're on the calendar. Didn't anyone call you? I said, no, they didn't. And he said, well, call Ryan Hammer. He'll fill you in. So I spoke with Ryan, and Ryan said, yeah, we're doing this awesome series called Vital Signs, where we're going to unpack and look at what it means to have a healthy Christian lifestyle and community. And I said, that sounds great. What do I get to share? And he said, well, let's talk about giving and money and generosity. And I said, well, cool, Ryan, I love that. But again? I said, I feel like I've done that. Can't we just talk about being selfish? And Ryan said, yeah, you can, but try to use these verses. So Ryan referenced some verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 14. And I'd like us to hear them together today. I've had weeks to ponder and read and reflect on them, and I'm going to share some thoughts with you today. But I'd ask that if you would please, if you're able, stand and let's hear the word of God. It's a familiar verse, one you've heard before. Today I hope you hear it differently. And you actually literally will hear it differently today. As I was reading, I realized in the Bible app that the app can actually read to us.
Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
The word of God. You may be seated. As Ryan mentioned, my name is Zach Larson, and my wife Kristen and I and our four boys are members here at Good Shepherd. And when I'm not busy in my professional life or coaching our kids in a variety of sports, I try to do what I can to help out around this place, much like many of you do. And whether it's in my personal or professional life, I have a passion for helping people connect their faith and their finances. So let's talk about money today, and let's think about being selfish, and let's look at giving, because Scripture does, and because Jesus spoke about that. But today I wanted to approach it from a different perspective. Let's look at it from investing. Have you ever thought of your giving as investing? If we're to think strictly in financial terms or money terms, who's the greatest investor? That's not rhetorical. You can answer. Who's the greatest investor? I hear Warren Buffett. Yeah, that's a pretty strong consensus. Warren Buffett, well, what about great investments? Were you lucky enough to get in on Apple or Amazon in the early days? They've been pretty good investments. But why are Apple or Amazon or Warren Buffett great investments? Is it just about the money? I think if we're going to talk about investing today, we better look at the whole picture and we better be on the same page for what it means to invest. So I'm going to give you investing 101. And in a financial sense, when we make an investment, we have to put our money into something, something that we believe in or we think will flourish. And when we put that money in, we then wait and we hope that it will grow. Of course, they don't always go that way. And as we wait, we expect something back. We expect a return on the money. In the investing world, we call that dividends or interest, something that's paid to us along the way. And then we experience something amazing called compounding, where we take that return and we put it back into the investment and it grows on ourselves, on that investment. To illustrate that, I'm going to give you a choice today. Some of you I will give $1 million, hypothetically. Others of you I will give a penny, also hypothetically. But that penny is unique because tomorrow it will double, and tomorrow I'll give you 2 pennies, and the next day 4 and 8 and so on. And I'll do that for 30 days. Perhaps you've heard this exercise before. Would you choose the million or would you choose the penny a day compounded? Penny. Excellent. If you haven't seen that before and you get a little bored today, go ahead and work through that math problem while we go. There literally is a penny laying on my table up here. I did not bring that. I think somebody put it up here after 9:30 because I had asked them what they would choose. You might want to choose the penny and the compounding effects. And then we need one more thing to make an investment great. We not only need returns on it, but we need a return of it. We want our money back. And one disclaimer, in the investing world, this has to always be said, are investments guaranteed? No. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. I wonder, though, in investing, does it have to be just about money? I think not. You've invested your time today on the day of a Bears game. Now, there were a lot more investments at 9:30 than there are here. And by the way, Pastor Gary, this Bears sweatshirt is not a reflection of last week's Bears-Vikings game. It's just about the optimism for today's game. But no, investments don't have to be just about money. They can be lots of things. Have you ever planted a garden? Have you invested your time, your efforts into something? Right now, I'm trying to grow a tree. There was a tree called the Hobson Oak, one of the largest and oldest trees in Naperville. And the Morton Arboretum collected acorns from it before that tree was taken down. And they grew them into saplings, and I inherited one of those saplings through a charity auction. And I'm trying to grow that into a tree to invest so that someday, 100 years from now, someone can experience the beauty and shade of something that I invested a little acorn into. I think good investors and investments can be a lot of things, but don't take my word for it. Let's go back to Scripture. In verse 7, we hear that familiar phrase, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then Paul goes on to write some really powerful things. Paul says, if we're cheerful givers, God is able to bless us abundantly. And it would be convenient to stop there. I would love to. But Paul doesn't stop. Paul says, God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, you will abound in every good work. There's no prosperity gospel here that guarantees if we're investing money, we get more money. That's not what God is about. Paul continues, God blesses us to abound in every good work. You will be enriched in every way, Paul says in verse 11. And again, I'd love to stop there, but Paul doesn't. He continues with a key phrase that comes up in Scripture over and over. So that. God does something so that we can do something. And in this case, Paul writes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. You and I, like Paul and the people he was writing to, have some stuff. We have material things, skills, resources, ideas, and God gave them to us, but not just for ourselves. God also asks us to give them to others so God can bless our work. But what exactly does that look like? And who is this Paul guy anyway? Well, I want to stress that as I've learned and read about Paul, Paul was a real person, just like you and me. He had a job. Paul was a tent maker. Now, don't think of tents like in your backyard. Pastor Glenn shared with me some of the learnings about Paul, that he was an entrepreneur, a businessman. Think of Ribfest and hundreds of tents. That's the kind of tent making and business that Paul was involved with. But Paul had some real issues. He did some bad things along the way, and God transformed him so that he could invest his life into others. God invested in Paul, and Paul in turn invested his life and skills into others. And a lot of the time was writing and speaking and building relationships. So I wanted to share this image with you. That's a picture of Greece, how it looks now, not ancient Greece. I don't think they had Google Maps. But in the lower right, you'll see the red pointer with Athens. And off to the left, to the west, is Corinth, the town or area about 100 miles to the west. And that's who Paul is writing to. And he references some people in Macedonia, which is about 300 miles up to the north. And he's sharing back and forth that the Macedonians are doing cool things, and he's kind of encouraging the Corinthians that they want to be cool like the Macedonians and give as well. And then I put this picture up there. That's a picture of Kristen and me and some friends standing on a rock in Athens. And behind us is the Parthenon. And as we toured that place, our tour guide said, Paul stood right here on this rock. And that had a profound impact on me because when we read the Bible, it's not always real, but Paul was real and he was right there. Can you take yourself back to that time, to that place, and think about the issues as Paul encouraged people to give and invest in the growth of the church? He had something strange that went with that. He said, your return won't be more money, it'll be righteousness, more generosity, and thanksgiving to God. Would you invest your money and your life differently if your returns were measured by generosity, righteousness, and thanksgiving to God? Well, guess what? Those returns are happening all the time. Here's what I mean. Kids, students who are here, who's investing in you all the time? Parents, teachers, coaches, adults that are here, who invested in you? Think back to a meaningful moment with a mentor, a parent, a Bible study leader, a pastor, where their investment in you made a profound difference in the compounding returns on your life are because of that investment. Could it be that they, not Warren Buffett, are the best investor you know? I consider myself a student of investing in generosity. I love to learn about it, to read books, to listen to podcasts and review articles, and I'm constantly trying to learn from others. Recently, I heard a podcast through the National Christian Foundation, and they interviewed this amazing couple who had a successful real estate business in Colorado. And through their business, they were investing in others, and they did it through the lens of something they called LIFE. They heard this acronym LIFE at a conference. And I want to share that with you today. I wish I could give more credit to who created it, but they didn't even reference it. So we just have to give thanks that we have this to think about. And it's made me reflect, what's the return on my life's investment? That return likely isn't measured by my net worth. More importantly, what is God's return on the investment? God invested in me, and God invested in you. And God expects a return from us and a return of us. And that's not accidental. Because as I've learned and thought about this, it's made me realize that God is the best investor. God invested one person, his son Jesus. And the return on that is compounded into billions of people that come back to God through Jesus. So what will you do with God's investment into you? Let's unpack that acronym a little bit. Your labor. It would be wonderful to think that we all could live out our calling to do a work that uses our gifts and bring glory to God. If you're already there, I'm excited for you. Do it well. We have this book at home. And in the cover it says, whatever you are, be a good one. A student, a teammate, a coach, a parent, a friend, an employee, an employer, be a good one. Maybe you've been blessed with finding the right job, or you've already retired from it, and you've been blessed with earthly resources, some money, some influence, some time and expertise. Use it well to invest in others to bring them to God. But maybe you're not there. Maybe times are tough and it's the wrong job or you're out of work. God is with you in that time too, and there are opportunities that are out there. Based on a report released Friday in the economic world, our nation's unemployment rate hit the lowest level in 50 years, which means theoretically at least, there's never been a better time in the last 50 years to go get a new job. Now, I'm not saying that's easy. I know it's not. But our work is not supposed to be punishment. So invest in yourself and commit to that change. Next, influence. Raise your hand, please, if you have been or are a teacher. Okay, and keep them up for me, please. This is the part where we're all going to exercise and wake up a little bit. Now, raise your hand if you are or have been a coach. Keep them up. Okay, we're getting a third of the room. How about if you've ever been a boss? Okay, a few more hands. How about if you've been an employee? Okay, that brings up most of them. Now, a few more. A student. Keep up. You can stretch for 2 minutes. Come on. Okay? And now your last chance. Keep your hand up if you've ever been a friend. Okay, we got, I think, 100%. I hope we have 100% right now. You can put them down. We all have influence in our roles and relationships. How can you let God's light and love show you through you to influence others? As I learned about Paul, I realized that he had this unique opportunity. He used his influence as both a Jew and a Roman citizen to reach and connect with audiences on both sides. That may seem like a faraway world, but it's true right here. We all have that dual responsibility. We're citizens not only of this country, but of God's kingdom. And how do we get to use that dual citizenship to connect and influence others to show them God's love and grace? Finances. This one to me seems simple and straightforward because I've begun to trust in the truth that I've uncovered. And that truth is God wants generosity for us, not from us. God wants generosity for you in your life, not from you. So show your trust and your thanksgiving to God by investing 10% of your money back into God's kingdom. That's scriptural. Not always easy. If you're already there, I hope you're experiencing the fullness of what that brings in your life. But maybe there's more. Is there an offering of thanks above and beyond that that you can invest into others? And if you're not there, that's okay. It's a journey, and I encourage you to begin it and incrementally take step forward because God will do cool things through it. Begin with something and grow that commitment. When we live in a world of generosity and abundance with God, there is always enough. When we get trapped in the earthly world of scarcity and we measure ourselves and our investments and net worth to others, there is never enough. Don't believe me? Let's test it out by looking at something I call the ultimate contrast. And as we compare and contrast, I want to stress that I'm not saying that earthly things are bad by any means. If you've used your skills well and that's led to financial gain, take the trip, buy the boat, enjoy the fruits of your labor. But remember, another key component of investing that we haven't yet talked about is diversification. Diversifying means not putting everything into one place. And if you're investing too heavily into yourself and your family, you're perhaps missing on opportunities to invest in others. And that sets up this contrast. One of the most beautiful, extravagant, lavish places I have ever seen in my entire life is called the Palace of Versailles. The Palace of Versailles sits outside of Paris, and it was built through King Louis XIV. Now, I said earlier, he built it. I don't think he did any of the work. But he had this amazing place built so he and his family could benefit from it. And King Louis XV did benefit from that. And he enjoyed the spoils of that place. And meanwhile, some things were happening in their country. By the time King Louis XVI rolled around, he didn't really get to benefit from it anymore. He lost it. King Louis XVI and his wife, Marie Antoinette, were killed, and they were disparaged as being frivolous, selfish, and immoral. Their lavish lifestyle had increased economic inequality so dramatically that it led to a revolution in their country. Our tour guide quipped this excellent phrase: "One generation can build it, another may benefit from it, but if they benefit too much, the third is beheaded for it." That might seem a little extreme, but research even today shows that in this era, most wealth and inheritance is gone by the third generation. Contrast that at the far other end of the spectrum with a great investor like Warren Buffett, who used his skills, his expertise so well to invest in companies and in people. And as he grew, the compounding returns were dramatic. It's grown to the point where he's one of the wealthiest people in the world, and yet Warren has realized that it's not about everything for himself. It's gone so much to the extreme that Warren Buffett created something called the Giving Pledge, where he committed to give 99% of his wealth during his lifetime and at his death to invest in others. Now, I think that's amazing. I'm also not too worried that Warren and his family won't have enough. He's got a few more zeros behind his net worth than most of us. But his effect is not just on those he'll invest in, it's brought in others. And now there's hundreds of people around the United States, wealthy Americans, who've committed to give over 50% of their money because of this giving pledge and the power that comes in investing into others. I'd encourage you to look that up online and read through it. The words are informative and inspiring. It's made me realize that net worths grow and net worths go. So much to the extent that it changed my perspective, and it caused me to start tracking something differently in my own life. My wife Kristen and I track our net worth. That's what you do in investing and in good planning. But I added another column to that, and I started tracking our cumulative giving throughout our lifetime to see if we're making the impact that we're called to do. I wonder if you tracked yours, would it reflect the investment and lasting impact that you want to have? And finally, experience and expertise. The world needs your wisdom. The world needs your wisdom probably more than it needs your opinion. Whether you're sharing your opinion or your wisdom, the best way is through relationship. Jesus invested into relationships and spent time with his disciples. As they built relationships and trust, it was only then that they could begin to uncover and understand the truth that he shared. Doug Collins, who was a former NBA coach, coached the Chicago Bulls, and Michael Jordan, said it this way: trust before truth. Meaning, if you haven't earned someone's trust, they probably won't hear the truth that you share. So, as we invest our life, I wonder, can we invest just parts of our life? Well, of course we can. Sometimes that's how it begins. But I don't think we're experiencing the fullness of what God wants for our life if it's only part of it. If we focus too much on our income, our influence, our finances, leave out our labor and expertise, perhaps we're left with what ifs. What if we do it all, but we check our finances at the door and say, that's personal, that's mine? If we let the F become too small in our life, are we living a lie? I don't say this to be mean. I say this to make us think, because God has fullness for our life that only comes when these work in harmony together. If you could go back 50 years and invest with Warren Buffett, would you do it? Maybe invest a little more? If you could go back 2,000 years and invest your life with Paul, would you do it a little differently? If you could have the impact that his ministry has had on the world, would you invest your life fully? It might be hard to invest with Warren Buffett again, but the opportunities to invest like Paul did are right here with us right now, and sometimes it all comes together. In our church community right now, there is a woman named Erin who is literally going to invest part of herself to save someone else's life. Pastor PJ's father is awaiting a kidney transplant, and after hearing that story and through lots of prayer and discernment, Erin has decided to make the commitment to make that donation. Many others from our community are investing in that journey as well, as they're helping financially support the donation process. Look for an email link this week coming that shares more of this story about how her decision to invest has had ripple effects on so many. Would you join me to pray for them and to pray for many others? Dear God, right now there are people from our church investing their lives for you and for others. And there are people who are listening right now. I know it to be true. In this place or online, and they have been feeling your promptings, hearing your call, and they are ready to fully invest their life for you. They trust you and are ready to accept and act on your truth. We celebrate with them and ask that you send your Spirit to guide them and bring peace to their decision to follow you. Others listening have been waiting to turn over part of their life. Maybe they're ready to invest more into your kingdom, to do something crazy, to give it all back to you. Maybe they're ready to invest their labor and their job for you, or use their influence and expertise to bring people to you. Bless them and give them strength so that you will abound in every good work. Enrich them so they can be generous in every way. For many of us, life changes are hard. Perhaps for you, like me, incremental changes are a little bit easier. When I got to share the message 6 months ago, I shared something called the Plus One Challenge, and over 40 people accepted the opportunity to incrementally increase their giving and their investment into Good Shepherd. I've not heard from any of them that their life is worse. A couple weeks ago, I spent time with one of the people who'd made that commitment. And Alyssa is a young professional in our church. Her story inspired, encouraged, and motivated me. I asked what was worse since her decision. Nothing, she said. My finances are fine. I then asked, well, what's better? She shared it felt great to know that her values were aligning with her money, and she knows that her investment is making a difference and an impact here at Good Shepherd. Well, of course it is, I said, but not just here. Did you know that Alyssa's investment, like yours, is making a difference around the world through the ELCA and through mission trips and the mission trips that we send out from this place? It's making a difference locally through a number of organizations that she and you care about and that the church supports. And it's reaching new people who come to church for the first time. As I dug deeper into Alyssa's story, I heard the most powerful point that she shared. She shared that the decision to give to God by investing at Good Shepherd was actually paying dividends to her. How could that be? I said, you're giving, how are you getting? She said she physically felt better. And then she used this cool phrase. She said there had been a cognitive dissonance between what she wanted to do and what she was doing, between what she knew was right and what she was actually living. It led to anxiousness and being uncomfortable. And when she made the commitment to give, it actually helped her feel physically better because it relieved that anxiety and stress. Well, here's the good news. You don't have to invest alone. As we've learned already in this series, a healthy life, a life well lived, is surrounded and supported by others who are abiding in God, committed to God, and worshiping God. And when you make commitments, community is critical. Last week, I rode my bike 265 miles from Naperville to Stevens Point. Why? I don't really know. As I trained for that ride, one of the cool things about worship this morning, I listened to that song, Caught Air, probably 50 times. And then it's here today to support me. In the middle of that three-day trip, we rode 120 miles. Why? I really don't know that. But marathon runners, I feel your pain. It was fun and it was tough, but I didn't just show up for it. I committed to it. I planned long before. I trained and we recruited a support driver to help us, accompany us on the way. And most importantly, I had teammates so we could encourage and push each other and celebrate together when we did it. And that's what this picture is. That's us at the century mark, at the 100-mile mark, as the sun is about to set in the middle of a cornfield in the middle of nowhere. And we did it together and then realized we had 20 more miles to go. And sometimes that's how it can feel to us in our life as well. But your church is here to support you. We are each other's support team. Small groups are waiting, teammates are ready, and Jesus is walking beside us to love and encourage us. And that leads us to the best news. There is one investment that's guaranteed. Your eternal life is guaranteed, not by how well you invest, but it's guaranteed by God when we believe our salvation by God's grace through faith. Would you pray with me, please? Dear God, you are the greatest investor ever, and I'm thankful you invested your son, Jesus, for us. I think it's amazing that you've invested in each of us. Help us commit our life for you. Give us strength to trust you so that you might transform us with your truth. And as you wait for the return of our life to you, I'm grateful that you are ready to compound the returns on our lives for your glory. Amen.